Welcome to Breaking Down the Message of the Week, and today we're going to talk about the slumbering spirit, and you may be surprised to know that that spirit's messed with you. I know it has for me. But before we get into that, we're going to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Montes Burritos. I have my co-host, Aaron Montes.
Yes, sir, yeah. Come check us out.
Yeah, man.
I don't know where to start, bro, but Montes Burrito Dallas, come check us out. We are in Carrollton/Dallas area. It's pretty easy to get to if you're coming from this way. Yeah. But those of you in Dallas in the area, I want to give a shout out to Chris Knowles, you said. Mm-hmm. He came through. I didn't get to say hi to him, but I heard he was there. One of our faithful men from Tree of Life. So yes, thanks a lot for coming through. But yeah, just come check us out. We're open from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Everything's homemade. Like we've said before, tortillas are homemade. Our food's homemade. We got everything that is from top to bottom. We build what you want, and you will be satisfied with
absolutely
your burritos.
Yes.
But come through. Check us out. Give us a shout out if you come through. Post it on Instagram. Tag us. Whatever you got to do. Let us know you were there. And we really do appreciate you coming and supporting us. Having a small business and trying to grow a business, it is grown through the people that come through and eat.
That's right.
And without you guys, it would not be possible. So we thank you for your support and your prayers, and also for all that you've done to come through, even through the podcast. That those who've checked us out, thank this podcast as well for allowing us this opportunity to share a little bit of our burrito business. But we thank you guys for listening and checking it out.
Yeah, so once again, man, we thank Montes Burritos for sponsoring this episode. And if you are interested in sponsoring this podcast or an episode, if you email us at info@treeoflife.church, we can send you the information. And also, if you are blessed by this podcast, we encourage you to become a partner so that we can continue to do the work that we believe is super important to lead people to Jesus. This podcast is all about leading people to the Lord. And so you can partner up with us with any amount, goes a long way on a regular basis, $25, $50 a month, whatever you can do, it's super helpful. The link is in the description. And so our goal is to reach 3,000 a month for this podcast, and it takes care of all the overhead and everything that it takes for us to have this podcast. Anyway, blessings to you. Let's jump right in. I started on Sunday talking about the slumbering spirit, and I didn't plan to do this as long as I did. And I think, you ever notice when you strike a chord or when you mention something, you realize, okay, this needs to be talked about a little bit more. It's like you hit a vein or something. And that's what it felt like on Sunday. It felt like the slumbering spirit. I asked the question, have you ever fallen asleep reading the Word of God? But you can't read it without falling asleep. You get sleepy and you get tired. Yeah. And one of the reasons for that is because there's a lack of practice. Like, people would rather scroll on the screen, and you're used to being stimulated with digital, you know, social media and all that. And when it comes to reading a book or the Word of God, it's not enough engagement and it makes you sleepy. Another thing could be that there's a slumbering spirit trying to keep you from the Word of God. And then I asked the question, have you ever fallen asleep during the Word? And it's only the guys that raise their hand. It's crazy, because every time someone has fallen asleep at Tree of Life or when I've preached, it's been guys.
Yeah.
It's very rarely a woman. It's mostly guys and men. And I remember several weeks ago, there was a guy sleeping at Tree of Life, and he was flat out sleeping. Like, he was just probably snoring for those around him.
We know who you are.
And then I remember in the middle of the message telling everybody to stand up, because I was trying to call him out, which, hindsight, that's probably not the best approach.
Yeah.
But everybody stood up, and that was the last time he came back to Tree of Life. I pretty much ran him off. But on Sunday, I mentioned the slumbering spirit, and I want to talk about that just for a few moments, because the slumbering spirit is a spirit that it keeps you from seeing and hearing in the spirit realm, what God wants you to see and what he wants you to hear. There's a scripture in Romans 11, verse 8, that says the following. It says, As the scriptures say, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this day, he has shut their eyes so they do not see and closed their ears so they do not hear. Basically, because Israel was committing idolatry and sinning, and they continued to worship false gods, and they continued to rebel against God, the Lord said, the consequence of your sin is that you'll go blind spiritually and that you'll go deaf spiritually. And a slumbering spirit would come upon you to where you're super passive when it comes to the things of God. And that is a consequence of sin.
Yeah.
And so the judgment that was placed on them was a slumbering spirit. And I think a lot of people may still be impacted by the fact that they have sin in their lives, that they are sleepwalking.
Yeah.
I had a woman tell me that she had a dream from Tree of Life, and it was a prophetic dream. And she said, this is what the Lord says to awaken the church, to awaken the church from that slumber. And I really sensed and discerned that that was a prophetic word, because people think about it, man. Like, we've been talking about resting well and being disciples and all that, but think about how people are awakened to wickedness and they are sleeping to righteousness. You know, and I made a pretty raw statement on Sunday that, and I was saying this, that you don't see men falling asleep at the strip club. Yeah. First of all, you shouldn't be in the strip club to see that. But the point is, I guarantee you, men aren't asleep. They're not
They're highly entertained.
They're highly entertained, bro. And when it comes to the church, they're just like super passive. And that's where it comes from. Have you noticed that spirit at all, bro, in the church, in any of your circles, or even in your life, where when it comes to righteousness and the things of God, you're just super, at some point in your life, you were super passive?
Yeah. No, but just to affirm that, it's it happened to Jesus.
With his disciples.
Fell asleep and fell. Remember, he's preaching.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Paul, right?
Yeah. And it happened during his times, you know, Paul's time. You know, it's where people can get slumbering and they can get sleepy. And one of the things that I've learned, it's hard because Saturdays are like your fun time. You know, you want to be with the kids, you're out late, you want to go to the movies, you want to watch the fights. And we have to value Sundays to give our energy on Sundays to the Lord. And it's hard because people do things on Saturdays, then they come to church Sunday morning, they're tired.
Right.
And not only physically, but they're not resting and they may have had a long night doing other extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
And so they come to church and they think that, oh, they're lethargic and it's no big deal. No one's going to catch me here. I'm cool. I can sit back and the cold AC and snooze, and just take that break from life. And there's no militant lifestyle in that way. And you come to church because you want to honor the King, and you don't come with the laziness, the tiredness. You come with your best.
Right.
And many times we undervalue Sundays because Saturday was more important than anything. Friday nights, Saturday nights are important. Sundays are just a day just to go to church and do my thing.
It's leftovers.
And, yeah.
People and treat it that way.
And so we don't have a high value for Sundays. And so that spirit, we're so entertained and so fed all weekend that Sundays are more like just, I do what I want. I'm going to come and go as I please. And so they're coming there and the enemy understands that. So he's going to catch them and create that spirit of slumber on them because they know this is the way they've been.
Yeah.
I've learned that.
It's true.
What I taught a few weeks back about investing in yourself through the Word of God, through listening to teachings, through feeding your life with positive things, with things that are healthy for you.
Yeah.
It gives you a better appetite for Sundays because Sundays can be tiring because you're full from the week.
Yeah.
What you've been seeing throughout the week is not healthy.
Right.
I've noticed in my life that the healthier I eat, the faster it burns.
That's true.
And so if I'm eating healthy, then I'm always hungry. But when I'm not eating healthy, I'm full and bloated and just like that. So if your eyes and your soul is not being fed throughout the week, healthy appetite, well, Sundays, you're going to come with this full, I'm just dragging
lethargic.
I'm just going to do my thing, come hear a quick word and worship for a few minutes. At best, if you notice that most men, not just them, don't even worship. They come and just stare and look at the screen. They don't know how to engage because there's a spirit of slumber on them in their worship and also in them receiving the Word of God. It would be so powerful if true men would worship the Lord.
Amen.
it would change generations. It'll change the atmosphere in the church. It'll change their home. It changes everything.
Absolutely.
And when they engage in worship, not just to be an entertaining fashion or this entertaining mode that they're singing along the lyrics, but when they go deep into their own personal encounter with the Lord, meaning that they're not worried about anything in the room. They're here for one reason, and that's to worship the Lord. Yeah. And the spirit of slumber will be broken off because they made that slumber less of a priority than their worship. And it takes that. Sometimes I've seen people like start up in the morning, you know, in the service and try to wake you up. And it's not a gig or a little gag or a little thing that we try to do. We're just trying to get you awake physically so that you can snap out of that funk you're in or that slumber you're in. But if you continue living sin and the lifestyle that you choose, that you're choosing to sin, then the spirit of slumber has a right to be on you.
Right.
And you give them the authority to be on you. You give them the right to be on you. You basically sign the dotted line and say, I agree with you, slumbering spirit, because I'm going to engage in this every chance we get because I'm in sin. So there's so many ways the enemy comes in.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to the Word of God.
Yeah.
We were talking about this last week that when you're not hungry or you're not desiring something or you don't want it, the passion and the love and the admiration and all that goes with it, you lose it.
Yeah.
So when you become lethargic, things were slowly breaking you down.
Yeah.
At one time, you were excited to be on Sundays. And little by little, he's taught you not to be excited.
Right.
Little by little, he's taught you that the Word of God is not that valuable. He didn't just say, just rip it out of your hands. He slowly found loopholes in your life where he was able to pull you into that lethargic state, into that stumper or that slumbering spirit. And it's real. It's alive.
Yeah.
And it's a really good tactic that he uses, because if you're asleep on Sundays, that means you're sleeping 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just in the Word of God. You don't know what you're asleep to.
Right.
If he gets you in slumber, you're missing out on things in your life. Like you said, Sunday, if someone comes in your house and breaks in and you're asleep and they're your wife trying to wake you up, like, hey, the devil's here or there's an enemy here. There's something trying to get you. It's slumbering can be a lifestyle.
Yeah.
That you're not alert. You're not awake. And number one is you, like you said a few weeks back, you need a rest. That's a key, because if he catches you when you're lazy or when you're tired, he finds these places where he can entry points, that he finds avenues to get in.
Yeah. No, he absolutely does. And again, the slumbering spirit, it goes after your eyes and your ears. And Jesus would often say, he who have eyes to see and ears to hear. And so the slumbering spirit, it goes after those spiritual senses.
Yeah.
You don't know what God is doing. You can't hear his voice. You don't see what he's doing in your life. And the Word of God is meant to be experienced through eyes and ears. Yeah. You see, you perceive it, and you hear it. You can hear the voice of God, the whisper of God. And when you have the slumbering spirit, man, you're just out. And another thing that I mentioned is, And I was being pretty bold when I said this, that there are spirits that will distract you. Look at your phone, you know. During a message, let's see who liked what, you know, social media. Your phone is a huge distraction, but specifically while we're there to worship God and to train in righteousness, to read the Word, to pray, everything that we're doing is to pursue Jesus and to cultivate that intimacy. But there are spirits that will mess with you and influence you and tell you to get up and walk around, and you fidget and can't sit still, you can't listen, you can't pay attention, you can't focus, none of it makes sense to you. You can't clearly articulate what God is saying through the Word. Every person should be able to summarize what you heard from God on a Sunday. You should be able to say, here's what I heard from the Lord, here's what I learned, here's how I'm going to apply it. And I think as teachers and preachers, we need to do better at that, to where it should be pretty clear for them. Here's the Word of the Lord. Here's how we apply it. And I asked my daughter, Micah, what'd you learn? And she was able to say a few things, but I'm like, how are you going to apply it? And she's not used to thinking that way.
Yeah.
So I think the church too, as a whole, needs to be thinking, what is God saying? How am I going to apply what I just heard?
Yeah.
I'm going to hear it and I'm going to do. Hearers and doers. But the slumbering spirit, it is something that you have to reject, you have to renounce, you got to command it to leave. But most importantly, you have to repent. You got to repent, return to God, and admit that when it comes to righteousness, you're not that interested. Like if, like when men are not, they're not fascinated with Jesus. When we sing about the beauty of God, the beauty of Jesus, most people don't realize the beauty of Jesus has to do with his heart, has to do with who he is, what he did, how he did it. It has to do with the nature of God. It has to do with the atonement, the sacrifice that he gave, the blood that he shed, just who God is. When you understand how amazing Jesus is, that's what makes him beautiful. But they can't see that if they have a slumbering spirit, and they can't really hear the revelation if they have a slumbering spirit. And so the enemy's will is to keep men specifically, and women, but men, because the man is the man of the house, or the head of the house. Yeah. As the men go, so goes the family. Yeah. And so if the enemy can keep men ignorant, passive, blind, deaf spiritually, disengaged, they don't know how to worship, they don't know how to bow their will and surrender, and prideful, if he can keep them prideful, then he keeps them blind, and then he can have his way with the whole family. Yeah. And then it's sleeping behind the will. It's leaving your guard and unlocking and giving the enemy access to your home. Windows are open, doors are open. There's no watchman. There's no gatekeeper. There's no man that's standing in the gap for his family. So that's important. There's a scripture, bro, that you pulled up. I want you to read that, man, so we can clearly say that this is what the enemy wants to do. Is that's what he does. He blinds people.
Well, the thing is, like, if you're there on Sunday,
yeah,
and you think another cup of coffee is going to fix this, or chew some gum,
a monster,
or you're probably thinking you're just hungry. Those are easy ways or side effects that you can look at and say, I'm in a slumbering place right now, because you're not going to get more caffeine to get out of slumber. It's a spirit.
Right.
It's a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle.
Right.
And yeah, we can rest. You can do all the necessary things to get there. But if you're there rested, well rested, and you're still dozing off, even if the preaching is boring, even
we'll
if the preaching is great,
not to let it be.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
The word of God needs to be held up as a high standard. But in that, recognize it. Am I really sleepy because I need coffee, or did I get enough rest, or is there something behind this? And those are things that as men and women, we need to recognize, because a lot of times we think I'm tired because I had a late night. Well, on Monday, you're fine when you have late nights, but for some reason on Sundays, you're just like droggy and it's not there. And you think, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. Then you're having to pee 3 or 4 times in service.
Right.
And, you know, it just becomes this thing that, like you said, I'm going to go walk in the halls and I got better things to do. I'm going to place I'm security today.
Right.
I just thought I heard something. You just want to get out of there because that spirit is basically moving you around where he wants.
Exactly.
And so coffee's not going to fix it. Chewing on gum may help your breath, but it's not going to wake you up or whatever. But sometimes we're looking for things to wake us up, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why they go to their phone. They're looking for something that can awaken them.
Exactly.
They're looking for a text or, you know, whatever they can to find a remedy for that slumberness.
Right.
And it's not going to be found in anything physical. It's a spiritual thing that we have to battle. And I'll read what it says here.
Yeah.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, and I'm going to read on. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, little g, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who in exact likeness of God. So this is basically saying that we, if we're not careful, the best things are coming.
Yeah.
But the enemy has blinded us to perceive and to receive what's happening in the room.
Right.
And it's his whole purpose behind that is to get you as slumbering as possible and as blind as possible. And I just heard this morning where he talks about Jesus, majority of the time, after he finished preaching, he would say to the ears, to hear, let those who hear, hear, let those who see, see. And he says that almost at every preaching because we can go back in scripture and find where the seed goes. Like you said on Sunday, they can snatch the word of God from you.
Devil, yeah.
There's so much
spirits
in what you say and revealing the word of God to the people that it's like gold from heaven coming down. and it's about to hit you, but you're so asleep you can't catch it.
Right.
You ever seen somebody, you throw a ball at them and they're not paying attention, they get hit with it? Well, that's how the Word of God comes. It comes in many forms. It's coming at you. It's like rain. You just like driving a car, it's coming, but you got your windshield wipers on. You want nothing to do with it.
Right.
You know, I just want to clear my vision. I got things to do.
Right.
And the Word of God's coming and coming, and you're not receiving because you're blinded by the enemy, and also you're asleep by the enemy.
Yeah.
And so don't blame the message, and or, you know, you just be careful, but don't blame that. Take responsibility.
Exactly.
And say, look, maybe I am struggling with this slumbering spirit.
Right.
Maybe I need to take care of my health. Maybe I need to be more focused on Sundays. Maybe I need to put a higher priority in myself and my family that Sundays are for the Lord, and I'm willing to deny my flesh to be there, deny my wants and desires, and just call it a slaughter before you get in and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm available. I rebuke every spirit of slumber. I rebuke every tiredness, every spirit of weariness. I'm coming to you because I want to give you my best. And those are applications that we can do every morning.
Absolutely.
And we have to do those because something in the room is happening.
Right.
Someone is in the room is in there.
Right.
And if Jesus is in the room, which he is, and you can't see him, that's a scary thing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to understand that when we're there, we're trusting and believing and affirming that the King of Kings is in the room. And if we don't recognize that, we're going to stay asleep.
Right. No, we are, man. There was a gentleman years ago, this was years ago, when we used to meet in the theater. There was a guy that would fall asleep every, it was a man again, another man. It's just typically men. And this dude was just like, I mean, just sleeping, I mean, head bobbing and everything, man. He's just, and then he eventually said, I have a condition that I cannot help it. And that's what he told me. And I had some empathy for him. But then I started talking to him. And the dude was addicted to television, to TV shows, to movies and video games. And he would spend most of his time, and I think he even got laid off or something, and he would spend most of his time in front of the screen. And so, and at the time, I should have called them out, man. This was years ago. I should have said, you need to repent for that because there is an unclean spirit that has attached itself to you and you are addicted to the wrong things. So every time he'd come, man, and his wife would be so embarrassed and he'd just be bobbing, you know. And so that's an example that this is real. I've seen people struggle with this, and you have to make a decision on what you value. Your schedule should match your values, and your values should be kingdom values, values that Jesus would approve of. And, you know, as much as we love entertainment, and I say we because, yeah, I love sports and there's a good fight here and there, I get it, but most of it infringes upon your ability to make Sunday sacred. If you think about all the fights, they're Saturday night, mm-hmm. and it's late.
Late night.
Do you think that's on purpose? Yes. Do you think the enemy knows that? Yes. Do you think that he knows that if he can get you up past midnight and get you to, you know, struggle and possibly sleep in on Sunday morning and not honor the Lord's day? Yes. Same thing with Sunday. All the games start at 10, or in West Coast, it starts at 10. Here in Central Standard Time, it starts at 12. Yeah. And then it's all day. And so my point is this, that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the ungodly, that they cannot see the light. And if you have not repented of that, unfortunately, you're going to follow the same pattern. And you'll see yourself super committed to entertainment, to UFC, to boxing, and all those things, staying up late, your whole family's tired, going to bed after midnight, then church is in the morning, and then there's no value put on that. You're showing up late to church, your worship is tired, you're not giving God your best, sitting there and being trained in righteousness doesn't mean much to you, and you're having a hard time focusing and all that. So the first key is repentance. Again, turn to God, admit that's an issue, make a commitment to value the things that are righteous and that are holy unto God. That's a big deal, because Sundays, you can tell, bro, when people are tired. You could tell. You can tell when they're when they're just like, man, I almost didn't come today because I'm so tired. Well, what did you do last night? What did you do over the weekend? Sundays has to be priority because it is the Lord's day. And it's the day that we come. And it's just it's one day that we come to meet with God.
Yeah, and I've noticed that in my walk. Yeah. I've done that before. I've been sleepy in a service or whatever. Yeah. But I can tell you this, that during hunting season, I can go with 3 hours of sleep and I can be in a blind by 5 a.m. Alert. And, you know, I'll be alerted for a little bit and every once in a while I'll doze off, but I'm there making it about me again, you know?
Yeah, you value it.
I value that. When I would go fishing, bro, we'd get up before the sun comes up, get everything ready. We're like, the best day of our lives is about to happen. We're going to fish for hours. We're going to have a great, amazing time. Vacation, same way you get up, everybody's alert. We're going to have a good time. And so you know you have the energy, but you just don't have the energy for this.
Right.
You know you have the excitement, but you don't have the excitement for this. Yeah. You know you can prepare for all those things, but Sunday you can't prepare for. So it's a discipline, a personal issue that we all have.
Yeah, bro.
Because I've been there, man, where I will make my, you know, you're going to do something that you love. You know, if whether you get up, I'm going to go to the gym at 5 a.m. and I'm going to spend an hour in the gym. You value that because
you value
yourself and you make that a priority for your life. You say, this is key number one for me.
Right.
And so I'm going to take care of this. And we all do that. I love going to the gym. I love spending time with the Lord. I have to find the time that I have throughout the day because there's value to me in those things.
Right.
But when it comes to this, not just the word of God, but just in the presence of God, in a service or in a meeting or even in a gathering, you know, everyone's at a point where they're tired. And trust me, we all get tired.
Right.
We're all physically drained sometimes. Sometimes we know we pushed our body to the limit. We get that.
Right.
But when we know that it's continual or it's always happening, there's a cycle to it. There's something wrong there. And that's where you got to hit the brakes and say, hey, this cycle is continual. I see this almost every other Sunday this happens to me. And we know who you are. We see you when we're speaking and we see that you're tired and we see that. And we don't want to dishonor your tiredness because we know that you've had a long day, you have a long week, and I get it. But try to find ways to make this more important than anything else in the world.
Absolutely.
Not just a Sunday, but in just being in service, but also having them. It's about Jesus.
Right.
You're not there to impress you. You're not there to impress me. You're not to impress the worship team.
Yeah.
You're not there to impress the Lord. You're there just to be there for the Lord. And if he doesn't make, if he's not more exciting than a fishing trip, if he's not more exciting than going bowling, if he's not more excited than your kid's baseball game, if he's not more exciting than the gym, if he's not more exciting than those things, then there's the problem.
Or the opening day.
Or opening day,
Texas Rangers.
So whatever you have prioritized, you put your value in that, and then you just put this on a different scale.
Yeah.
And this is like, you got your thing is 1 through 10, 10 is fishing, 10 is hunting. The word of God is the one. You know, you can see that, and it's easy. And we don't get it twisted. We all go through those cycles. Sometimes we go to church and we're just like, "What's wrong with me?" We have to slap ourselves out of that. Say, "Not today, Satan. I'm not going to allow this today.
Right.
I remove this tired spirit." You can't just say, "Okay, I'm just going to deal with it." No, you got to tell the spirit of slumber to leave you.
Right.
And it could be a daily practice till you wake up. And we have to continually do this because we all go through it. I'm not exempt to that.
No.
None of us are.
No, none of us are. And we are repenting. We are convicted. We're convinced that God's ways are better than ours. And he gave us this book of life. He gave us the word of God. He gave us his word that reveals Jesus Christ to us. And if Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if that's what Jesus said, and think about when we gather as a community of people and God wants to speak to you and he wants to revolutionize your life and completely propel you into the future with revelation. God wants to bless you, encourage you, reveal himself to you. One word from God transforms and changes everything. But we're sleeping, slumber.
Yeah.
You know, it's think about what God wants to do when we gather, bro. Where he is in the midst of us, and the slumbering spirit is just like, you know, fall asleep. Don't listen to that. Don't see this. And not to mention,
it's like a warm blanket.
Right. Not to mention what God wants to say to you or speak to you, but what he wants to do through you. And so if you have the slumbering spirit, that is influencing you, then you can't hear God, but people can't hear God through you either. They can't be blessed from God through you. In other words, as the body of Christ, you're not activated. You're not a part of the process, and you're just kind of on the sidelines. You're not in the game. So we need to repent of that. That's super important. We need to repent of that. Think about it. All the things that we do, like for me, tea times. If I had a tea time at 6 in the morning, and I've had tea times that early before, 5:30, I'm there early. I get up early. I iron my clothes before the day before. I put my snacks. You know, I prepare for the things that I value.
Yeah.
For example, if you're going to go hunting, you prepare. Got your outfit. You got your ammo. You got everything, your scope, everything sighted. You get everything prepared, bro, for the things that you value, which is, people get that. But when it comes to the things of God, are you prepared? Do we prepare? And we should. We should, because it should be our number one priority.
Sure.
And that's where we're leading people to. And we're going to call out apathy, bro. We're not going to cater to lukewarm, one foot in the world, one foot in the church people anymore. We're speaking to disciples, and we're inviting people in to be all in. We're inviting people to be all in. And so, so if that's you, if this speaks to you and you feel conviction, that's good. But what do you do with that? You surrender it. You turn to God. You repent, and you command that spirit to leave. And make a commitment to God to be awakened by His Spirit. We should be, like you said earlier, aware that the Lord is in the room. We should be aware of what He's saying to us. We should walk away every time we meet. Here's what God is saying. Here's how I'm going to apply it.
Yeah.
Here's what God was doing in the room. If you're not aware of that, you could be influenced by the spirit of slumber.
Yeah.
So, bro, if you would pray, man. For those that are listening, and let's rebuke that, bro. Let's agree in Jesus' name that even in the prayer, that spirit has to go. We don't welcome that spirit. That the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of His Spirit, remove those blinders from any of our eyes.
Yeah.
Would you pray, bro?
Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for this word. We just ask you, Lord, that those that are listening, that their ears are open, their eyes are opened, that they're hearing what we're saying, Lord. That slumbering spirit can no longer be a part of their lifestyle.
Yes, Father.
Father, we elevate this word above anything that we said. Yes, Lord. Your word is truth, your word is real, and your word is alive. We just declare that this word that we're speaking from your scriptures takes root into each person that is listening, in our lives as well, Lord. And if you're listening right now, I just want you to just to repeat after me. Just say, I renounce to every spirit of slumber that is on my life, on my house, on my marriage. Just say, Lord, I repent for allowing this spirit to come into my life, for allowing it to take root in my life, allowing myself to conform to the spirit of slumber. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive us. Forgive us if we've allowed this thing to become a part of our daily lifestyle.
Yes,
and Father, right now we come against every slumbering spirit,
yes, Lord,
every lying spirit, every blinding spirit, every deaf spirit that is upon your people. We command it to loosen itself from your people of God.
Yes,
loosen the reins, loosen the power that is upon their eyes and their ears and their bodies right now, Lord. We just ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to remove every slumbering spirit, every stupor spirit, every spirit that comes against your people to not hear and see your truth. We remove the blindfold. We remove everything, that the earplugs, everything that's holding them back from hearing you, Lord. We come against every lie. Every devil, every demonic influence, we break it by the power of Jesus. Father, we declare your people free. We declare their eyes and ears opened. We declare the spirit of slumber that is gone. We send you back to the pit of hell. We declare you no longer a part of your people. We bless them, Lord. We declare that they will see that your word, that your scriptures are more real to them than the clothes on their back. That this word of God becomes more appealing, more of an appetite for it, more of a thirst for it, that you fill them with such urgency, such hunger to know the word and read the word and be around the word, and they're completely wrecked by it and open to it. Bless their lives. We bless those who are listening. We thank you for tuning in. We bless everything that you're doing in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Man, super grateful for this podcast, for this conversation. And we pray that it bless you. And if it has, send it to someone. Encourage someone. let's spread the good news. And make sure to subscribe to as well and receive the notifications. We do come out with one of these podcasts every week, breaking down the message along with Sunday sermon that comes out weekly as well. And then we also have bonus clips of generosity and what God is teaching us when it comes to being generous. Anyway, love y'all. Have a blessed week. Blessings.